Hello, and welcome to Blank Plate, a podcast for Swifties with an appetite.
I'm Sarah, and I used to be a little kid with glasses and a twin-sized bed.
I'm Laura, and I'm a mess, but I'm the mess that you wanted.
Did you hear about the girl who lives in delusion? I'm Rebecca.
And we've got a blank plate, baby, and we'll write your name.
Woo! Rebecca's back, right. Baby!
We are here with our Swiftie correspondent, Rebecca. Back again.
Our chat blew up. We had to have her back.
Yeah. Our chat blew up.
No, really. All right. It's an emergency.
Emergency tea pod.
Tea has been spilled, and we must chat. We must yap, as you said,
yes,
Rebecca.
The yearn to yap returns.
Yes.
The yearn to yap. For real. So we're here today because, well, more or less, Taylor is giving us some real scoop inside of her relationship with Joe through these Apple playlists that she has released about the five stages. She called them heartbreak, but we know them five stages of grief. Anyway, we'll get into it. Our chat blew up,
and we were literally
railing on the fact that, like, these two have been fighting for way longer than we think in our Coney Island episode with Rebecca, we had to have her back. So, welcome back, Rebecca.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Apologies for any squeaks from this chair. I'm in a hotel podcast studio today, and things are not ideal. But this is what we do for emergency pods.
This is what we do for Taylor.
And my chair's a little squeaky.
I'm representing. So. Yes.
Both of you are wearing your merch.
Yes. Always gotta have on the merch.
Period. I need to step it up. I'm just wearing a sweater.
Oops. Well, I never turned down a theme. So.
Yeah. You even have a record behind you?
Yeah, that is I Love Trash by Oscar the Grouch.
Lovely.
45.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay, so we were all theorizing this stages of grief thing when it comes to the Tortured Poets Department color scheme. So for those who have no idea what the hell we're talking about, Taylor curated five playlists in preparation for TTPD's release. Each of them comes with a message from her and like a little explainer. And she made a list of these songs that were all associated with the five stages. And I was wondering, like, has she ever done this before? Like,
yeah, so she did do these curated playlists with Apple before for her glitter gel pen, fountain pen, and quill pen songs. And each one had, like, a message from Taylor, like these ones do. But as far as I could see, that was the only other time. That was during the
Memorizer. She also broke up folklore into all those different chapters.
Right.
That's true.
I remember being very confused by that.
That would have been something to dissect.
So the press release from Apple Music said, when Taylor Swift announces an album, the world takes an interest. That's certainly what happened in the days after she revealed the Tortured Poets Department. As intrepid Swift began hunting and assembling and pinning clues to digital corkboards, eventually landing on the theory that her 11th studio album is sure to explore the five stages of heartbreak. That is Swifties began hunting. So this is straight from the fans. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it seems like we were probably wrong about the five stages of grief theory, but Taylor liked it and now is giving us this. Right?
I want to know how many times that situation happens.
I know.
Yeah.
I feel like there's too many coincidences, you know, unless she is like a witch or a serial killer or something. There's too much of it. I think a lot of it is like some happy accidents and she's like, I'm meant to do that.
Yeah, that's totally what I was thinking about that. Totally. Mm-hmm. So she chose songs from her own catalog that fit each stage of grief. Mm-hmm. Heidi Applebottom is back, everybody.
She's happy.
Hello, sweet child. She's so cute. This is, if you have not met Heidi Applebottom, this is Rebecca's adorable cat.
From- she can see out the window right now, so she's locked in.
She is unfazed. So each one of these playlists is, it's about denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Four of the, and each one has like a tagline that's associated with the album. Four of them are from like the back of the vinyl albums. And then the fifth one is named after a song title. So mm-hmm. it's pretty cool that this came from Swifties, but like, I'm also, so I was just like, what are the five stages of grief? She calls it five stages of heartbreak, but.
Yeah, why do you think that is? Do you think that's like a copyrighted idea or something?
So I did some research and I don't think it's copyrighted, but I do think the fact that like, it may not be grief, but like different relationships she's sort of like hearkening back to in the playlist. Maybe she's like, oh, these are about multiple heartbreaks that I've had. So, and all the different times I've gone through this process, I don't know, but the five stages of grief comes from this woman pop off. Her name is Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And nice. She's this Swiss American psychiatrist who wrote this book on death and dying, which she was basically researching terminally ill patients in their process of grief. And that's how the like five stages came to be. But she like later had to clear up and say like, yeah, this is like the predictable progression, but like not everyone's process is linear. Like, it's not like you go like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you're good. Like everybody like sort of goes and sways back and forth between all the different phases. So I don't know why she calls it heartbreak and not five stages of grief, but it's the same thing.
Just I also feel like it's a poetic license thing.
Yeah. You know? Or also it's an opportunity for her to copyright that.
Yeah.
She will copyright the fuck out of anything, or her team will.
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our capitalist queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Most of the tea is coming from like the Midnight's Evermore folklore lover time frame.
Yeah.
Right.
I was thinking about that, like going through our list that, yeah, most of the songs that we're talking about are from Lover, Folklore, Evermore, Midnights, because those are all the Jill relationship. So now that that has relatively recently ended, like, I feel like all the older songs were like, yeah, those make sense.
Right. We know what happened with Harry Styles. We don't need to rehash that. We know why it ended and how it ended and...
Right.
Know, what terms they're on. But I think
Jake Gyllenhaal, we get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think all of those songs about previous men in her life must have come out after whatever it was had already ended. Because she never dated anyone for very long until Joe.
Right.
So now, like, we have all these songs that came out during her relationship with him. And now that it's ended and hindsight is 2020, and she's looking back on it with a different lens and laying it out for us, we can be like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Like, what is she telling us here?
Also, like, okay, I've been seeing a lot of TikToks where people are like, look, she was telling us this whole time that she's in the middle of depression. I'm like, okay, wait. Like, she's making these playlists now, looking back on her relationships. She wasn't like writing Lover while acknowledging that she was in the denial phase. Like, that's not, no, but she can look back on that now and say, oh, look at all these clues I was like subtly saying that I was denial. Like,
the whole idea of being in denial is that you don't know that you're in it.
Right. But I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, she was telling us this whole time. Why weren't we listening about this? I'm like, no, actually, like.
Yeah, it's not like she was trapped in that relationship and like. Right. Couldn't escape, so she's like leaving secret messages in the Lover album.
Right. I think now she's just calling her former self out through her own songs, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So should we just like go phase by phase? Let's just like, I mean, yeah, I think the biggest one is Denial, which is titled I Love You, It's Ruining My Life Songs.
Mm-hmm.
And her message was, This is a list of songs about getting so caught up in the idea of something that you have a hard time seeing the red flags, possibly resulting in moments of denial and maybe a little bit of delusion. Results may vary.
I can't wait to get into this.
I know.
All right. So, like, the number one song that I think stuck out to everyone on this list is Lover.
Oh.
Like, her most, like, lovey-dovey song about her relationship with Joe. Being like, look how happy we are. We get to make our own rules in this house that we share. And it's like, just like, oh, like playing house with each other, and you've got the Lover house. And now she's like, yeah, I was in denial. I was in denial about all the red flags.
She was like, I'm DeLulu.
Yeah. So. She's like, I literally thought I was going to marry that guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, if you can now look into Lover, she did give a lot of clues that it wasn't like, I don't know. Like, now looking back on it, I'm like, oh my God. It's
riddled. Since 2019. Thank you. As I said before.
They've been fighting, okay?
Afterglow. Just take a deep dive into Afterglow.
Really?
It's like, oh, okay. Yeah.
And we even said this on Coney Island that, like, we thought that Lover as a whole album was kind of like, it's overwrought with, like, everything's perfect, I'm so in mm-hmm. love, with, like, very high-key anxiety about it the whole time. Mm-hmm. And it's weird. Like, I don't know. I don't know. We were it's all like, we're so happy for her.
It's like the Instagram post by the couple that's like, oh my God, we love each other so much. Oh, I love you, yes. babe. Blah, blah, blah. And then 3 months later, it's like they're erased from their timeline. And it's like, oh yeah, they broke up.
It's yeah. like the Instagram post where the caption is like, thank you for putting up with me. I know we go through highs and lows, and the highs are so high and the lows are so low. But it's all worth it. It's just like, you read that and you're like, that's the healthy relationship. That's yeah. the person. That's your person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So one thing that kills me about Lover specifically is if you actually reread the lyrics, she's like begging for acceptance. She said, can I go where you go? Can we always be this close? It's like, AKA, mm-hmm. please, please, please accept me. And then yeah. she's also like, everything is could and not like mm-hmm. it is. So, for example, like, we could leave up the Christmas lights till January, or
right.
we could have the crash friends in the living room. It's not mm-hmm. that we are, it's that we could, like, if mm-hmm. you stay with me in this relationship, we could have this perfect mm-hmm. thing and you'll save all your dirtiest jerks. Like, you will, not that you are, but you mm-hmm. will in this hypothetical relationship I'm making in my mind. So it's like mm-hmm. kind of bargaining.
Yeah. Even can yeah. I go where you go is like asking for permission.
Yeah.
And it seems like mm-hmm. she knows that he's just going to do whatever he wants and is just like, yeah. can I come with?
It's giving, like, don't begging leave me instead of in yeah. the story of your life. That's yeah. what it's giving.
Oh, yes. No.
Yeah.
So
yeah, instead of planning a life together, it's like, oh, I know you're not like as interested in this as I am, so can I just like come along?
Yeah. Right?
That's kind of sad.
It's so vomit. Sad.
Yeah.
Well, and then with the bridge being essentially wedding vows, mm-hmm. and she talked, I think, in her Diary of a Song about this being a song that people could dance to at a wedding. So it's very clearly setting up, like, I want to marry this person. I want to build a life with them. Like, we're so in love. And take this magnetic force of a man. Like,
and she specifically said that they were all the cliche things that you said in vows, specifically.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was like a little twist to them, as she likes to do.
Yeah.
And we were talking in our group chat about, like, people have discussed, does this song reference, like, the wedding march or something, but
I was yeah, that was like our Berenstain like, Bears moment.
So yeah. I did look into that. I did look into it. So, like, I couldn't find a direct correlation, and I was on like Reddit threads. I couldn't find anything, but I did find, like, just through looking at the chord progression of the, like, beginning of the song, that it does follow very, very, very loosely, the first three chords sort of match the chord progression of Pachelbel's Canon, which people use. But I mean, nevertheless, it's definitely a wedding song. Like, this is a song that's like cluing us in that she wants to marry this man. Like, this is for real.
Yeah. Which is also why in Lavender Haze, which we can talk about next, it was kind of surprising when she talks in that song about the 1950s shit they want from me. All they keep asking me is if I'm going to be your bride. And this is where I feel like the denial comes in the song.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I don't want to be your bride. Why is everyone putting this on me?
Yeah.
But we know from Lover, we're like, doesn't she want to marry this guy?
Yeah.
But then he probably didn't want to. And she's like, well, I don't need that.
Like, I wouldn't marry me either.
I wouldn't marry me either. Like, you know, do I really need to get married? Like, I am the biggest celebrity in the planet. Why do I have to get married? You know?
I feel like he's a guy that, I don't believe in marriage. It's this whole, it's a piece of paper and blah, 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 and kind of talked her into not believing in that stuff. And she's a very, like, I would say a romantic person that she loves she loves love and she loves the idea of marriage and even romanticizes, like, arguing with your lover and, you know, playing a house and blah, 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 and all that stuff. So I think that, yeah, it was her denial of, like, oh, like, yeah, that's totally, it's, you know, it's so old school, and
yeah,
that's
all they want from me. Why would I want that?
Yeah, I don't want that.
Laura, can you play that clip for us from Lavender Haze?
So this is the Lavender Haze. I'm playing it way too cool, and I don't care. All they keep asking me is
if I'm gonna be your bride. Yeah, and she's like, get it off my desk.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And here's the Lover Bridge that we had referenced to. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please stand? With every guitar string scar on my hand, I take this magnetic force of a man to be my lover. My heart's been borrowed and yours has been blue. All swell that ends well to end up with you. Swear to be overdramatic and true to my lover. Magnetic force of a man. I mean, that is delusion. That's
pure denial.
Also, if we think about it, this Lover song, there's no acknowledgement that the other person is on the same page as her. It's her vows. It's her saying it.
Yeah.
There's nothing from the other person.
Oh, I've seen this a lot on TikTok recently, is the, and at every table, I'll save you a seat.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not coming.
He never shows.
Yeah, he never showed up.
I'll save you a seat in case you come. But you don't. Right.
I'm holding out hope that you show up for me in the way that I'm showing up for you.
It's so sad. I really feel like all these different little clues about their relationship is like her giving us context and insight before TTPD drops, because she may or may not reference none of this. Like, she's kind of letting us fill in a lot of gaps through this, but without explicitly saying anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's letting us know what's going on without saying, like, this man was not interested in being a part of my life at all. But here's these clues that you can figure out for yourself to figure
that out. She's also saying so much.
Oh, yeah. Other songs on Denial. Sweet Nothing.
Ouch.
Oh, here you go. All that you ever wanted from me was
sweet nothing. Yeah, so
that's kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
I pulled out that clip especially because, like, when I was going through this, I would pull up the lyrics and look through the songs and be like, what's sticking out to me right now? And she's saying, you know, I would come home to you and your sweet nothings, like plural, which is a thing you say about, like, you know, the cute little things you and your partner do or whatever. And it says, all you ever wanted from me was sweet nothing. But, like, now It's like, did Joe, going to the idea that maybe Joe wanted her to kind of give up her career, at least in some capacity, like he wanted her to do nothing. You know, all you ever wanted from me was sweet nothing.
Yeah. Also, a little, if we read a little into a more morbid reading of that, like, she's realizing that he never cared as much as she did. Mm. He never wanted the relationship out of her. He never wanted the marriage out of her. He wanted nothing.
Yeah, he had basically. Nothing.
Yeah.
Because if you're reading this from a sweet way, you could say, like, all you ever wanted from me was sweet nothing. I mean, like, you didn't even need anything from me.
And maybe that's you weren't where trying the denial to get money or fame or clout or whatever.
Yeah.
Trying to help your career. You just wanted like, me to be me.
Or like, you just wanted me around. I don't know.
But, yeah. But if you look at it from the other end, it's like, ooh, he didn't really want anything at all. So. He did not want to be associated with you. Like,
am I wrong? Didn't he write that song with her? Or no? Did he only write? He did.
That's a William Bowery.
Again, but, what were they writing together?
But there's also insinuations that this song was inspired by Paul McCartney and Linda's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So who knows?
Yeah, because Taylor liked a tweet about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like recently, like since this song came out,
which is pointed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The next one that we know that Joe wrote with Taylor, as from the Long Pond sessions, is Betty. On the Denial song. So
I have questions about that.
Yeah.
I have a lot of questions.
I'm so confused.
I rewatched the little clip from the Long Pond sessions of her talking about this. And she said that Joe was singing the fully formed chorus from another room. And then she was like, excuse me, what? And at that point, they had the conversation like, hey, this might be weird, but let's try writing a song together. Which means Betty was the first song they wrote together. But why would he... Okay, Laura, roll the clip, please. Listen roll to this clip. Chorus and tell me why Joe would be singing these words just off the top of his noggin. Just tell me why.
But if I just showed up at your party, would you have me? Would you want me? Would you tell me to go fuck myself? Or lead me to the garden? In the garden, would you trust me if I told you it was just a summer thing? I'm only 17.
It's giving I cheated and I didn't mean it.
It was just a summer thing. If I showed up at your party, would you want me? I don't know. You never come to any of her parties. Also, I always thought it was weird that they said, take me to the garden. Because garden is what British people call like the backyard. So that makes sense that he would have written that line.
I mean, we know that she said that James had been foolish.
Yeah.
So is
she said that over and over again.
Yeah.
He's a fool.
He's a fool.
Is she insinuating that this is actually based off of her and Joe because there were rumors about him having an affair with one of his co-stars.
Mm-hmm.
So. Right.
So it's like, and I think that these playlists really kind of nailed that nail in the coffin a little deeper throughout a lot of different songs.
Oh my
also,
God.
The whole story of Betty is that James cheated on Betty. Wait, I totally forgot that I was calling her in our notes Cardigan Girl.
Well, she is. So
Betty is. James cheated on Betty. With the Augustine or whatever. And then he comes back and he apologizes and they get back together. So I feel like the denial is that James and Betty could end up together after that happened.
Yeah. The denial of like, okay, what was I thinking? Like, that's not a happily ever after type of relationship. So,
right.
I would also like to add that Betty has always been my skip song on Folklore. I think it's the worst song on the album. So fuck you, Jalen, for that.
also, I think also, Betty doesn't fit. I think Betty fits better on Evermore.
Yeah.
Like, stylistically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see that. Also, it always bothered me that just the story was so, like, oh, you know, you're sleeping with some other girl, but I thought of you while I was doing it. It made me so, like, so icky.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so icky, and I hated that. And then she was like, yeah, I'm going to kiss you in front of my friend. And it's like...
Also, when he... the part I hate about Betty is when he is there to apologize and he calls her friends stupid.
Stupid. This is, yeah, okay, so yes, we know that Joe wrote the song. I totally believe it because this is some male fantasy shit.
It is.
I'm going to cheat on you and then just like, I'm going to blow you off, cheat on you the whole summer and then just show up. Call your friend stupid and be like, well, I was thinking of you when I was cheating with her.
I miss you.
And then it's all good. And it was she just forgets him and they're in love. That's such a male fantasy.
It is. It is.
All right.
Is.
So Joe did write one song.
Okay. Oh my God. So other ones that stood out was Cruel Summer, which like everybody's bebopping to.
I gotta get into it.
Get into it, Rebecca.
Okay, the weight that I'm drunk, the bridge. Do we have the bridge?
Yeah.
Playing the bridge.
Yes, here's
roll
the bridge.
Roll the bridge.
And clip. I'm drunk in the back of the car, and I cried like a baby coming home from the bar. Said I'm fine, but it wasn't true. I don't want to keep secrets just to keep you. And I snuck in through the garden. Every garden. Night that summer, garden.
Okay, first of all, greatest bridge of all time.
Yes.
Second, we have so many echoes. We have the garden, Betty's garden. That's the first thing I thought of when you said garden.
Good
now
point.
We have I Love You, Ain't That the Worst Thing You Ever Heard, which what's the title of this playlist?
Denial.
What
oh,
isn't
no,
it?
I Love You, It's Ruining My Life.
Ding, ding, ding. I love you. It's ruining my life. I love you. Ain't that the worst thing you ever heard? Hello?
Hello.
Also, like, just the idea of, like, I love you. Is that, like, the worst thing I've ever done to you? Like, am I that awful that you, like, cannot love me? Because
it's giving anti-hero.
Yeah.
She's the monster on the hill. Like, yep, I'm just this... big fucking obstacle in your life now. I just inserted myself. Isn't that horrible?
Yeah, and I Love You ain't the worst thing you've ever heard because it's like, if she didn't love him, she could just walk away.
Right.
You know? But like, she's in love, so
it's ruining her life. I'm fine.
But it wasn't true.
Yeah, that's the line that stuck out to me was, said I'm fine, but it wasn't true.
I'm in denial.
Okay. The line I want to get to is right after that. I don't want to keep secrets just to keep you. This man, I feel like this is like pre-boyfriend girlfriend time. You know, up on the roof with the schoolgirl crush in the beer out of plastic cups. I feel like she wanted to date him and he was like, I don't want none of that Taylor Swift famous girl shit. I don't want to. But I'll do it if you keep it on the, if we don't tell anyone about it. And that's also so, that's another just like cliche male, like.
You kept me like a secret.
Situationship. That's like, that is a situationship if I ever heard one. Like, yeah, I'll date, but don't tell anyone about it.
Yeah.
And
like I'm just like a little too hipster for like your Swifties and like I don't really want to be tied into that. So like no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I guess I'll date you. Ugh, yeah, you're Taylor Swift, whatever, I guess. But don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Which I mean, to his credit, imagine dating Taylor Swift.
It's a- okay, but let's look at Travis Kelce.
But this Travis is why we Kelce, love him.
Yes.
Yes.
Travis Kelce has the confidence and the ego about himself and just the demeanor. Like,
I mean, I guess literally
he's like a golden retriever, but like
he just respects her
in the best way.
He does. He celebrates her. Not, yes. He doesn't intimidated. Tolerate her. He celebrates her.
Yes.
And like, and there's something about him that he must be like, you know what? This is worth it. And if this doesn't work out, then okay. Then I dated Taylor Swift and it didn't work out. But if you're any kind of person with anxiety, it's like, well, what if I date this person and then it doesn't work out? And then everyone knows about it. And it's like, you're in a fishbowl.
I feel like that's Taylor.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why she's so in denial of like, I have to prove to everyone that this is the love of my life and I'm going to date him and we're going to get married. Right? See, look, I did it. I'm not just the girl who writes about her ex-boyfriend and picks the wrong man and blah, blah, blah. See, I did it right this time. I feel like that's her anxiety talking.
I mean, Travis Kelce literally, well, in comparison, since we are comparing, when asked in interviews, Joe was like, they were like, what's your favorite Taylor Swift song? He says, oh, I'm not even going to get into that world. And then Travis Kelce, on the other hand, was asked the same question. He said, oh, that's not just my game day playlist. That's my everyday playlist. I can't choose one. Like, there's a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, God. I feel like every single one of her relationships has been secret or, you know, not public but private. Maybe like Calvin Harris, they knew, the public knew, it was confirmed, blah, blah, blah. But like Harry Styles, secret. John Mayer, secret. JoJo, it was all secret. Don't tell anyone. It's private, blah, blah, blah. And this is like the first man that is out here being like, yeah, that's Taylor. That's Taylor Swift. That's my girlfriend. I support her. And does that, like, that's the first time I feel like in her adult life, some guy has been like, yep, I'm dating her, claiming it.
And not to call out our next song, but Don't Put Me in the Basement When I Went the Penthouse of Your Heart. Like, Bejeweled is on this playlist.
Which
and I have
does not make sense to me.
Bejeweled
does not sound like denial at all. To me, this sounds more like acceptance, like getting the fuck out of here, you know?
I feel like, okay, so, if, you know, in The Cruel Summer Bridge, we have him giving her an ultimatum of like, I'll date you, but keep it a secret. I feel like this is her ultimatum of like, get your shit together. Get your shit together so I can love you. Of like, you know, I can go and tell the band that, you know, I forgot your name.
I don't have a man.
I can go and do that. I don't need you. Mm-hmm. And I have to go and do this for myself. So you better let me do that.
I have a theory that there's a reason why it's on this playlist and why it's the last on this playlist.
Oh,
so
is it?
It's the last on the playlist.
Because don't they all pretty much go in order of album?
Ish, except this one.
Interesting. Okay.
So, I mean, it's not perfect, but, like, it is weird that, like, why would a Midnight song be the last one? Like, that normally it goes backwards. But anyway, so, again, Don't Put Me in the Basement When I Want the Penthouse of Your Heart, right?
Right.
So, we know Bejeweled is, like, this kind of, like, empowerment, like, taking back her power sort of thing. Like, this song to me is like the segue from denial to anger, because if you watch the way that she performs Baby Love, I think I've been a little too kind. She's pissed.
Oh yeah.
She has a snarl in her lip when she performs that. So I think to me, this is the segue from denial. Like, I've been living in Delulu land and now I'm moving on. And that next phase is going to be anger. So that's why I think it's on this playlist. That's just my read. So I don't know.
Could be.
Also, I don't know. I keep putting together like, Don't Put Me in the Basement Because I Want the Penthouse of Your Heart, and Frontline's Don't You Ignore Me, I'm the Best Thing at This Party. Homeboy was ignoring her.
Apparently.
Like, I've been there. I've been in a relationship where it's on the rocks and they start, you know, purposely leaving you out of things and mm-hmm. then, you know, gaslighting you about it. I've fucking been there. Mm-hmm. So good on her to be like, get your shit together, bitch, because mm-hmm. I don't need you.
Yeah.
Because that certainly wasn't me.
mm-hmm. yeah.
So that's sort of the tea on denial. There's a lot of tea there.
That was a lot.
And of course, there's songs that we just like know is about.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So the next is Anger, which is titled You Don't Get to Tell Me About Sad. So her message said, these songs all have one thing in common. I wrote them while feeling anger. Over the years, I've learned that anger can manifest itself in a lot of different ways, but the healthiest way that it manifests itself in my life is when I write a song about it, and oftentimes that helps me get past it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I said a lot of the songs on here are really obvious. Like, we have Vigilante Shit, Woulda, Coulda, Shoulda,
Bad Blood,
right.
Mad Woman, We're Never Getting Back Together.
You know, like, we're like, mm-hmm. yeah, those are angry songs.
We got it.
But there's some that heard the sentence, I wrote this when I was mad. You were like,
oh, yeah,
you did.
You yeah. did. So you're Tell acknowledging me. It's not fictional.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I wrote them while feeling anger. Okay. And the three we have picked out come from Folklore and Evermore,
yeah.
which, you know, fictional.
The
characters.
Fictional. Okay. I love that she used this idea that, like, oh, these are, like, fictional characters that I've made up. She was trying to preserve this man from being absolutely demolished.
Denial. Like, bargaining.
Yes.
She was protecting his ass.
Yes. Yeah.
She was, like, probably, like, please, I need to write about these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say,
oh, and he was probably like, you can't release that song. Everyone's going to know it's about me.
Well, I'll make it about stories.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's well, so bad.
But I also love that it was just like a ticking time bomb
mm-hmm.
for him. Yeah. Of like him he trying knew. To control her. Don't put that shit out there. They'll know mm-hmm. it's about me. And she did. But oh, mm-hmm. something happened on April 9th.
If you think about it, even Midnight's is to protect him, too. It's not just yes. Folklore and Evermore.
Mm-hmm.
Midnight's, oh, yeah. the concept was, oh, these are just random nights of my life. Like,
mm-hmm.
It could have been about any of my exes. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, maybe, mm-hmm. girl, but like...
Yeah, and then mm-hmm. we were all like, is this a breakup?
Really? The biggest one is Tolerate It. Like, tolerate hands it. Down. Which we were calling out.
We knew this yeah. was personal. It's a track
this
five.
Blew up the group chat.
Yeah.
The GC exploded on this one.
You cannot write that song without feeling
yeah.
so much rage.
And I denied it for so long because she was like, I read this novel called Rebecca. And I was like, period. Okay. I was like, it's fictional, yeah. and they both love sad songs, and in the long,
yeah,
like, we just love really, really sad songs, and who can,
yeah.
the saddest song, who could find the saddest song, and I'm like, I bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. We all did.
We all did. Say about reading Rebecca, she was like, I have felt this way at times in my life.
She did say that. I also, like...
What times?
Right now?
The theme of this relationship is he didn't give two F's about this woman and was not giving her any place in his life. Because in mm-hmm. Tolerate It, like, writing footnotes in the story of your life, drawing hearts in the bylines, basically saying, like, I'm doing my best to make you look beautiful and let everyone mm-hmm. know that I love you so much. But, like, you're not even making me a main character in your manuscript.
Honestly, she should have written a song about Jane Eyre, because that's the one where the guy has his wife locked up in the attic.
For real. Okay, let's play the Tolerated Bridge and just take this in for a minute.
Mm-hmm. While you were out building other worlds, where was I? Where's that man who threw blankets over my barbed wire? I made you my temple, my mirror, my sky. Now I'm begging for footnotes in the story of your life, drawing hearts in the byline, always taking up too much space or time.
You assume I'm fine, but what would you do if I...
Okay, I take back what I said about Cruel Summer Bridge, because that's the best bridge.
I mean, how can you pick a best bridge in her discography?
True.
It's but also, so like, good. What I think is so great about the Eras Tour in general is seeing her perform songs like this. Like, Tolerate is one where you really see the anger in her performance, where she's got that whole table set up and, you know, this dancer acting like her partner is completely ignoring her, and she's just like pleading and getting upset and frustrated. Because Tolerate, the song is like very like soft, and same with Illicit Affairs, which we need to talk about as well. But like,
yeah,
when you see her perform them, the anger shows.
Yeah, I mean, she was like throwing plates off the table on the Eras Tour, so
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I. There's a level of devastation to I made you my temple, my mirror, my sky. I made you everything.
Begging for footnotes in the story of your life.
I gave up everything. Like, I made you the peak of what I could ever reach for
mm-hmm.
instead of what I wanted. And now look at me. It's so devastating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and then I really want to talk about Illicit Affairs because...
Yeah, please.
First of all, everyone's referring to the Eras Tour rendition of this as the angry version.
Don't call me kid!
Yeah, which I have baby. A clip of it from the Eras Tour. So, Lara, can you play that for us?
Yeah, give me one.
Because this kind of really shows it.
It's
so good. I like, when is she dropping the Eras Tour soundtrack album? Because I need the like high quality version of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's another one that I was like, oh, this is about a made up, you know, love triangle or whatever.
Yeah. This is Augustine's song.
But it's also it's kind of confusing, though, because she writes it from the perspective of the woman who is, like, the other woman. And there's a lot of, like, compared to other songs, like, Better Than Revenge or something, there's a lot of, like, humanity given to that character in this song.
She talks about an illicit affair, but does she ever claim in the song that she's actually the other part of that, or is she just observing it? Because if we want to go back to the Emma Laird of it all
mm-hmm.
and the, you know, cheated on her during the summer and showed up in Betty's front porch.
Yikes.
Yeah. You know, that don't call me kid, don't call me baby, you show me a language. That could just be from Taylor finding out, you know, what he was doing. And look at this mess that you made me. Look at care so much.
Yeah. I feel like this is artistic license. Like,
yeah.
I feel like she was like, I'm going to write about these two having an affair. But then, like, there's always this infusion of personal. And I feel like that bridge is just like, screw you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look what you did to me. I'm literally fuming. And I'm so mad about this situation. I can't do anything about it.
You know damn well that I would ruin myself.
Yep. Oh, that's God. So good.
That's so deep.
Yeah.
She would do anything for this stupid little man.
Yeah.
And he didn't give a fuck.
No. And then we have Exile. And Exile being angry, I feel like a lot of people were a little confused about.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, no. Oh, no, no, because I'm connecting Exile now to Coney Island. I think I've seen this film before.
Yeah.
And she knows that the end is coming. And she's looking back, she's like, oh, this is just going to be a repeat of every relationship that I've had.
Here we go.
Here we go again.
Another one.
Yep.
So here's Exile.
You were my crown, now I'm in exile, seeing you out. you've seen this film before. So I'm leaving out the side door.
Like, I'm out. I'm out. Screw you, yeah. I'm out.
Also, she's in exile. Don't you ignore me.
Yeah.
The best thing is part, like...
Well, and also, she says, you were my crown. Now I'm in exile. Seeing you out. You're my crown. It's like, you're a major, my temple, my mural, my sky.
My kingdom, yeah. Come
and
undone.
And now I'm in exile. Yeah. Like, I was giving you everything, and now you just want to lock me away. And, you know,
king of my heart.
This is going downhill, so I'm out. I'm just going to peace out.
King of my heart, kingdom come undone, you were my crown. These are all Joe associated songs.
Yeah.
And
is it like because he's British? Is this like a royal family thing?
I don't know.
I feel like
King of My Heart is where it started from. So
yeah.
King, Crown, yeah. I could guess that. I don't know. So that was a lot. And then we had Bargaining. And I feel like Bargaining's hard to figure out because like it's when you negotiate things in a complicated situation, like with yourself and with other people. So the message that Taylor said was, this playlist takes you through the songs I wrote while in the bargaining phase. You're trying to make things better. You're oftentimes feeling really desperate because oftentimes you have a gut intuition that tells us things that are not going the way that we had hoped, which makes us more desperate, which makes us bargain more. So a spiral of delusion.
Yeah.
There's a lot on this one.
Yeah. So first up is peace. And I want to know, does the idea of this being a bargaining song, does this change how we read the song?
Yeah, it's sadder. Like, give you my wild, give you a child, sit with you in the trenches, swing with you for the fences. Like, this is the stuff I'm willing to do with you. Like, won't you please, 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 like, I'm bargaining with you. Mm-hmm. What do I need to do? Like, these are all the things I'd give for you. Like, that is so sad.
I'm trying to figure out if I've always read it this way, though, because for me, peace is her saying, I can't give you peace, but I can give you all of this other stuff. Is that enough?
I think the thing that stings about this now is, yes, I always saw it like that, but I always think we understood that this is her pleading to Joe, but obviously Joe loves her and is willing to accept her because they're together. And she's doing this because she's being self-deprecating, not because she actually feels that way. Like, she's like,
the rain is always going to come.
Right.
Which I, on TikTok or somewhere, saw that someone was saying how the rain is always going to come if you're standing with me. And then midnight rain. She's midnight rain. I don't think I'd put that together.
I don't think
before.
He's sunshine, though.
Yeah, I don't think that sounds about Joe, honestly. No. But yeah, she says, give you my wild, give you a child, sit with you in the trenches, swing with you for the fences. Like, give you a child as a bargaining thing is what is devastating to me. Before read that part is like, I love you. Like, I want to have a family with you and do all these things. Like, isn't that enough? But if this is bargaining, it's like, well, we can have a kid. I'll have a kid with you. Like, that's a very different tone.
And also think of how big of a fucking deal that would be. Not just like, oh, we'll have a baby together, but she's Taylor Swift. I will give you a child. I'll pay, you know, alimony or child support to this child for the rest of your life. You'll forever be connected to me and my billion dollars. That's not just like I would give you a son. That's like, I will set you up financially for life.
Yeah.
That's like a financial transaction.
I think bargaining is probably the one that stings the most because, like, you should never have to bargain in a relationship or a heartbreak. But she's also, like, bargaining with herself, too. She's like, I'm willing to do that because I love this man and I'm willing to give it up. And, you know, this like inner dialogue that she's probably having with herself too about it. She's like, I'm willing to have a kid with him. Like, if that's what it takes, like, I'm willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
When really it's like, girl, no. Anyway, the Archer is on here. That stings. Like, I'm a little confused by the Archer being on bargaining, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. What are your thoughts, Rebecca?
Well, we have who could ever leave me, darling, but who could stay? Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that really stands out, because I see that song as more of a mm-hmm. introspective
yeah.
song.
Yeah. Yeah. The line that stuck out to me was, help me hold on to you. It's like,
like, give me something.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's in the bargaining phase. You like I see this ending, but I'm trying to bargain with you. Like, help me fix this. Help me hold on to you. Help me not lose you. What can mm-hmm. I do? What can I give you to make you happy? So maybe that's kind of what it's like.
I think I Cornelia Street being on this one.
Oh, that was, they hit the second tower.
Yeah.
they hit the Pentagon with that one.
I hope I never lose you. I hope this never ends. Yeah. I'll never walk Cornelia Street again. Like,
mm-hmm.
look at, yeah. I'll never be able to be the same. I'll never be able to experience this again. Like, please, please. It's pleading. It's just like desperation, yeah. pleading,
also,
bargaining.
You know, the verse of like, turned around before I hit the tunnel. That was just, I mean, that's, you know, Cornelia Street is so romantic. No. This is still anxiety phase of like, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not, because also in Cornelia Street, she leaved. Right? Like, she leaves. And then she turns around.
The ultimatum, the cruel summer ultimatum of, I don't want to keep secrets just to keep you. So she said, okay, fine, fuck it. And then before she hit the tunnel, she said, okay, never mind.
Yeah, and then she's saying, I don't want to lose you, over and over. So she's like saying, please, like, what can I do to say, how can we fix this kind of thing?
Yeah.
I don't want to lose you.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, Cornelia Street, death by a thousand cuts gave you too much, but it wasn't enough. Okay, what else now? Like, what am I supposed to do after this? Like, okay, so that didn't work. What else can I do to make this work?
Made you my temple, my mural, my sky.
Oh my God.
And now I'm begging for footnotes in the story of your life. She says the same shit in a million different ways.
Yeah.
And we're all like so oblivious to it.
We need a sound clip.
She really says it again and again.
We need a sound clip on this freaking Riverside account that just says, I gave so many sighs. Like, literally like, yeah. throughout yeah. this entire situation, she's given us she's been telling us the whole time.
Mm-hmm. So that 5,000 cuts, she told us she wrote after watching the movie Someone Great.
Okay.
So we're like, okay. Again, this is like the folklorification of death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah.
But then this one, I really kind of had a spiral reading through the lyric in this context through the lens of, crap, are we in bargaining? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like saying a thousand cuts are all the ways she's been hurt. But in this song, is she bargaining to stay and keep the relationship? Because she says, gave you too much, but it wasn't enough. Like, bargaining to stay, but got turned down. And then, if the story's over, why am I still writing pages? Like, it sounds like they broke up, and she's trying to get back together with this person. Like, now I'm searching for signs in a haunted club.
I feel like she's bargaining with herself. Like, is this relationship really worth it?
Mm. And,
you know.
Yeah.
If the story's over, why am I still writing pages?
Yeah, and when you're obsessed with like the idea of somebody, and like if they give you any inkling that there's interest, you're like, that's it, they like me. That's mm-hmm. it, they like me. Like, that's enough reason for me to follow through. That's like bargaining mm-hmm. with yourself that it's willing to pursue.
Because
she thinks she's going to marry this man and have his children. Right. So she's still bargaining with herself, like, is it worth it? Because I think he's the one. So should I put up with his shit? Should I put up with him ignoring me and still not wanting to marry me and, you know, still wanting to be so private about everything and not talking about me in interviews and ignoring me and blah, 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 blah. Is this fucking worth it? I asked the traffic light if it'll be all right. I'm so fucking desperate. I'm asking inanimate objects to give me signs.
Laura, can you roll the clip for this one? Because we got to listen to a little bit of this.
Yeah.
My heart, my hips, my body, my love. Trying to find a part of me that you didn't touch. Gave up on me like I was a bad drug. Now I'm searching for signs in a haunted club.
Oh, one of the best bridges.
I know, another great bridge. The best. Another one.
I could do without the Our Films, Our Songs, United We Stand line. That's just it's such a weird line to me.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay, and then Afterglow, which we've already talked about.
Yeah.
They've been fighting.
Yeah.
Period.
Afterglow, here she's taking the blame. She's saying, I'm the one who blew things up. Please don't go. Let's make up. Like, why did I have to do this? Like, it really is a song where she's taking complete responsibility for whatever happened and saying, like, basically saying, like, I'm delusional. I'm crazy. I just made all this up. It's all in my head. Like, I'm so sorry. Please stay. And
it's giving she was gaslit into apologizing to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I read it, too.
Yeah.
And then I agree, Sarah. The next one, Renegade. I'm confused why this is on bargaining, because Renegade is anger to me.
Yeah.
It's like, is it insensitive for me to say, get your shit together so I can love you? Like, I'm get your shit together. Like,
yeah.
Like, but I think it's also like she's laying it out there. Like, this is what I need for our relationship to be good. Here's my bargain. Here's what I'm willing to do. You know what I mean?
For our future history.
Yeah, like, this song to me feels, like, very, like, sturdy. Like, she's standing on business in this song.
You know? Like, for once.
Period.
You know?
Yeah.
She says, is it insensitive for me to say, get your shit together so I can love you? Is it really your anxiety that stops you from giving me everything? Or do you just not want to?
Like, that, I think, wrap it up in a bow. That's the whole relationship, I think, in those lines.
Woo! Like,
he's making excuses.
Yeah. That is her saying, here's the deal. Tell me what is up with you, because I'm tired of your bullshit. That's what it sounds like.
Yep. Okay.
I don't know. Is that the end of the playlist? The last song on the playlist?
It is the last one. It's also the
only one
that's not in her Taylor personal. Swift.
Yeah, that's the only one that's not. That's the only
Which
one that's
is
not
so telling of like, yep, I wrote this fucking song about him. Yep. I needed to include it.
Didn't even come out on her album because it had to be a Big Red Machine song.
Yeah. But I see that's our pattern again of it's the last song on the playlist. So that's her boundary that she put up. That's the end of the bargaining.
Yep.
Where she's like, get it the fuck together.
Yep.
Or not at all. And then that leads us into acceptance, right?
Depression.
Oh.
Even better.
I forget.
Yep.
So this playlist is titled Old Habits Die Screaming. Which, okay, I did not, when I saw like that, I did not associate that with depression. I definitely associated that with like anger. I don't know, whatever. I guess we'll hear songs or lyrics and understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the message she said is, we're going to be exploring the feelings of depression that often lace their way through my songs. In times like these, I'll write a song because I feel lonely or hopeless, and writing a song feels like the only way to process that intensity of an emotion. And while these things are really, really hard to go through, I often feel like when I'm listening to songs or writing songs that deal with this intensity of loss and hopelessness, usually that's in the phase when I'm getting close to getting past that feeling.
Hmm.
Woo! And there's like obvious ones on here. Bigger than the Whole Sky, You're Losing Me, My Tears Ricochet, Epiphany. Yeah.
Nothing new.
But Champagne Problems.
Okay. Again, this is like the Betty of this one, because they wrote Champagne Problems together. Again,
how much?
Why are they writing these songs together during COVID? Okay.
I bet Joe took the night train once and then she was like, that's it. I have to put him as a songwriter.
Yeah. Like, he could write a melody and not know any of the lyrics that are happening.
But she has. She has so many lyrics that are telling us that she wanted to get married and he did not.
Yeah.
And this song is about someone who proposes and gets turned down, right? She wrote it with Joe. So I want to know. And the idea that Joe didn't want songs about him coming out that puts him in a bad light. Did they decide to write this fictional stuff together about their own relationship? And like, talk like, hey, let's process this together. Or like, I'm trying to write a song about this. And Joe comes in, it's like, you can't say that. And then she's like, well, what if I do this and this? And what if I make you a co-writer? And then it like, how could we write this song about us if you're on song? I don't know. Like, that's, you know, putting a lot on Taylor. But, you know, in the song, I feel it's the woman who didn't want to get married. So it's like, I'm just going to flip the thing. So it's like, fictional.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Red herring.
She's basically hiding her own feelings. Maybe she was even doing this to Joe. Like, oh, yeah, I made up this story about these two people. But it's really like her feelings. Yeah. And that's the only way, because she plays him every song first. You know, you're the first person I show my songs to. How could you play a song like that about that person to their face?
Yeah, I don't know.
Except if she flipped the narrative and was like, oh, yeah.
It's fictional, babe.
Yeah, here it is. Sometimes you just don't know the answer to someone's on their knees and asks you, she would have made such a lovely bride. What a shame she's fucked in the head, they said. But you'll find the real thing instead. She'll patch up your tapestry that I shred. What a shame she's fucked in the head. Which honestly is like fitting for the depression playlist.
But I know this was personal because at the Eras tour, this girl was crying the first couple times that she was playing this song on piano.
Yeah. It's not okay. It's not okay.
I mean, and then Coney Island, which if you're interested in hearing us unpack that, go back 2 episodes. definitely depressy. It's a depressy song. That's for sure.
It's brown.
Yeah. Also just it's hot dog colored.
hot dogs.
also just, puts into perspective because we had so much in that episode of whose point of view is this?
Right.
And it really is just, you know, laying in bed thinking about every horrible thing that's ever happened to you.
Yeah.
Vibes.
I'm cycling through my depressive phase.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It is. Yeah. It's rough.
It is rough. Finally.
Most of those made sense. But moving on to the final playlist of Acceptance, which is called I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. I guess that's acceptance.
I can do life without you. I can move on.
She says, we can finally find acceptance and can start moving forward from loss or heartbreak. These songs represent making room for more good in your life, making that choice. Because a lot of the time when we lose things, we gain things too. And like, of course, You're On Your Own Kid is on here. Like, perfect. Lots of like cathartic songs, like Now That We Don't Talk, Long Story Short,
Closure,
he's
on there, right? One that stuck out to me here was Labyrinth, because to me, Labyrinth is like pure anxiety. That's an anxiety song. Even the way it's musically created creates anxiety, which we can get into more when we do a Labyrinth episode with Lara's musical theory knowledge. But I guess it also kind of makes sense because she talks about the idea of gaining something new after loss. And the whole repeating theme of that song is, uh-oh, I'm falling in love again. So, like, this acceptance of, like, this one thing has ended, but I can do it with a broken heart. And you know what? Life goes on and new things happen. So, yeah.
I wonder when Labyrinth was written in the Newman's timeline.
That's a good question.
But then she has the, I thought the plane was going down.
How'd you turn it right around?
Mm-hmm. But then Great War is also on Midnights too. So sure. These two
on and off
for a lot longer than we think. There's a lot of signs that signal that they were not faithful all healthy. The way through and healthy. Yeah.
Oh wait, and Infidelity is on one of these playlists, isn't it?
Yeah. Which one is it? Hold on.
Speaking of infidelity.
I think that's on the Bart. No, that's on the
Anger.
Yeah. Do you really want to know where I was April 29th?
But she wrote that while she was angry.
Yeah.
Yes, she was.
We need to know what happened in April. All of April. She's releasing in April. It's the anniversary of XYZ and the other thing, you know, right. Ryan unfollowing Joe after the dinner. And yeah, we need to know what happened in April.
Yeah. Well,
or did you really want to know what happened in April 29th? Do you want to know how he brought me back to life?
Back to life.
Who's he?
Fidelity probably about, Calvin Harris.
Potentially.
Yeah. I wonder how many of Midnight's songs were kind of like vault songs that maybe she reworked that like never got released.
I think if you listen to 1989. Yeah.
Tom Hiddleston finally gets his light of day.
I forgot that he existed.
He brought me back to life. So, yeah.
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 Got it. Okay.
And then April 29th is when her song with Calvin Harris, the Rihanna song, came out.
Wasn't that like the weekend of the Met Gala or right before the Met Gala? Because that's the first weekend in May.
That is true.
Monday in May or something like that.
That is true. I never thought about that.
And that's where she met Joe Alwyn.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, 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 dun.
The plot thickens.
And then one thing I love that is on this is from the acceptance playlist is August because you were never mine.
Yeah.
Never mind. Brutal. Never mind.
Yeah. You were never mine.
You were never mine. Bye. Don't need it. Okay. That's a lot. So unpacking our feelings here, we get some general themes of Joe didn't want to be a part of Taylor's life and he didn't want her to be part of his. We get general thoughts of Taylor begging for acceptance. What are some other themes we got from these clues here? That it's not fictional, like that her songs are not fictional, like
as she tries to write fictional songs, we know that so much she was protecting him in every song because she can't not.
Yeah.
I like, mean, what's fictional is writing a murder song. That's fictional, okay?
Yeah.
What?
Aspirational.
Just kidding. What's not fictional is writing footnotes of the story of your life. That is not fictional. That comes from an ounce of truth somewhere. So we now have confirmation.
Oh.
You guys. Oh, my last thoughts about all this is like, I think Taylor does such a good job with diversifying how she, like, shows love to different music platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she did a lot with Spotify. She has like those special like videos that she does.
Yeah.
And releases like playlists and stuff with Apple Music. Like I'm sure that she like somehow has to do that to make everybody happy, but I'm sure Spotify was like pissed. Like it's with Apple Music that everybody's like re-listening to all these songs.
She used to make Spotify playlists of like songs she loved and like up and coming artists and shit. All that used to be on Spotify.
Yeah.
So
also I wonder if her Apple Music numbers were dipping a little bit. And maybe. She's like, let me boost my Apple numbers. It could have been part of it too.
Yeah.
You guys.
I don't know.
We've covered so much.
But then also today. So today was the day of the eclipse. And we did get a little snippet of what is likely a lyric.
Which is already. I'm just so excited.
What does it say? The crowd goes wild at her fingertips. Half moonshine, full eclipse. I think is what it is.
Which is
so
like
good.
Such a Taylor play on words.
Half moonshine. Oh my god.
Yeah.
You brilliant
it's giving
bitch.
Full eclipse. Witch. She's
also,
witch.
That TikTok that you sent me.
Which one?
Like speaking of which, Sarah sent me a TikTok. It's this amazing creator. She does all the stuff about the 112 theory.
Oh yeah.
Nikki.
Yeah.
I had to watch that like 4 times and I still like am not even like computing everything that she said.
Are you talking about the one with the astrology calendar?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Reading the clock.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Before we hopped on, I saw on Twitter that people talking about on the Eras Tour in the beginning when she does that thing where she points at the crowd and moves her finger. And everyone screams. It's like the crowd goes wild at her fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
She also does that during Mastermind.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah.
All the way.
Mm-hmm.
I love this woman.
Are we ever going to know? I feel like she's just hiding shit from us. Are we ever going to know?
We need the full tell-all like memoir to come out. At some point.
She has to write one at some point. I mean, she's literally a writer in her soul.
She has PDFs journals. Already. Yeah.
Yeah. She has a manuscript, I'm sure.
Right. She said she literally has, like, PDF file, like, even for, like, a music video, she has PDFs of all the fucking Easter eggs.
Yeah.
What I would do to get my little fingies on one of those.
I just want to be like in Taylor Nation with like a corkboard with her and being like, what if we put a seashell?
Yeah.
And
what
just
if we
a
just
seashell.
Fuck with them and put a seashell here?
And then like it just so happens you have a lyric from Little Mermaid and then they'll go that way when really it's this and they'll be like, oh my god, how'd we miss that? Literally, that's what their job is.
And there have to be so many people on her team who are just following orders to like carry out Easter eggs, but no idea what the hell's going on.
Oh no. Like,
yeah.
Even if she's explained it to them. There's gotta be someone like not her dad, but like her dad. Who's just like, I didn't catch a word of that, but just tell me what time to tweet the posts and I'll do it. Like,
I don't know what you're doing. 3:28 or whatever the fuck.
It was 2:38, I think we're on.
Because they're going to read
post.
Into it at that point.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. 2 + 8 + 3 = 13.
Of course. Like you said earlier, Rebecca, like part of me wonders how much of, like, we now know that she does listen to fan theories. So, I'm sure with like, Midnight's rollout being such like a expansive social media moment when like everybody like it was like a song title was released and everybody was blowing up on TikTok with their theories. I'm sure that she looks at theories and is like, I like that. I'm using that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm gonna use that.
You can see everything she's liked on TikTok.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and she'll go in and like, that's, I think, I really think that there was one she liked about the Coney Island bridge. I tried to deep dive in her likes to like find it, but I couldn't, but I'm pretty sure she did like that, and that's like a confirmation Or even if she didn't mean it. And is like, oh yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Good interpretation. Yeah.
Well done.
You know. Oh my gosh.
Well, literally, the next time that we're on this podcast, Tortured Poets Department is going to be out.
Vomit.
Vomit.
Like, yeah. I'm so excited.
I know.
I want to know, like, what's it going to sound like?
I know.
Is it sad? Is it another Midnights? Is it another Folklore? Is it another Reputation? Is it something you've never fucking heard before?
Yeah, is it going to be, like, sexy, sultry, like the album cover, or is it going to be stripped back and really cutthroat, like she always is?
Oh, I can't wait.
Is it going to be all over the place, like Red is, acoustically or sonically?
I did hear that people who had an early listen to it, like her production team, have gone on record and said that it's one of their favorite albums that she's made.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they like kind of argued with her about was the name.
Really?
And she was like, no, I'm not changing the name. That's the name.
Right?
And that makes me think that it is the Tortured Poets Department. Like,
There's a reason for it.
There's a reason why it wasn't called, I don't know, anything else it could have potentially been called, but like I think the Tortured Poets Department, I keep thinking about this theory, it's not an apostrophe to be found, poets is plural. Like, I don't know.
Well, we're gonna shit our pants.
We'll
I'm sure
find out.
Oh my god.
She got it so soon. Won't be long.
Yeah.
Oh my god, so exciting.
The group chat, on fire.
Well, okay, Rebecca, but you need to know that Laura and I are not listening to it in the morning, because the day of, Laura and I are getting together that Friday night to listen together. So no spoilers in the group chat.
Oh my god.
Literally that Friday, I am locking my phone in my car, and I am on Do Not Disturb.
No social media for us.
Nope, I'm telling my beloved to text me on Facebook Messenger, and that's how I'm going to be in touch with you, because otherwise it will be ruined. Yeah. I will open my TikTok feed. The first thing I'm going to see is...
Yeah, 100%.
Like...
Mm-hmm. This is what we did for Midnights.
You guys are brave.
That's awesome.
I know.
Bravery.
We are brave.
I'm going to be in Las Vegas when it's happening. Yeah. So I don't know when the fuck I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to like event thing.
Does that mean it'll come out earlier?
Oh,
for
yeah,
you?
Earlier?
Will come out at 9 p.m. your time? Or does it still wait until midnight?
No, because when I was on my honeymoon, 1989 Taylor's version came out, and it came out at like 6 a.m. my time.
Right.
My time.
So you might be able to listen
Paris.
To it
at like
Thursday
10
night? Wait.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No. You'd be able to listen to it at
10?
10, 10 p.m. 9 or 10 p.m.
Oh, my God.
That's sick.
I'll just be getting out of seeing Dita Von Teese.
Ooh,
oh,
another
cool.
Swiftie
my little,
friend.
Yeah. My our bejeweled fairy godmother.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's cool. So,
it's going to be so fun. But we will text you all of our... The group chat will blow up post-Friday
Saturday,
night.
Yeah.
Yeah, Saturday morning. When we're digesting all of it and re-listening.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the first thoughts you have to like marinate in them.
Yes.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Ooh. All right.
Oh my God,
guys. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us again.
Yes. Thank you for
correspondent.
Having me again.
Yes.
Remind the people where to find you online.
At Rebecca Schlau, which you can't spell. But they'll tag me.
Yeah, we'll tag you.
We'll tag you. She'll be tagged in the
show notes and our social media.
My TikTok is Rebecca on the Internet.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And I post Taylor Swift things and my cat. So
Yes.
If you're interested
great content.
In Heidi Avwadham exclusive content, you can find it there.
Cool.
Love it.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for joining. And if you'd like to support the pod, you can give us a follow at Blank Plate Pod on TikTok and Instagram.
And you can check out our website at blankplatepodcast.com. And please send us an email at blankplatepod@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 717-382-8313 to share all of your Taylor thoughts. And let us know what you thought about these five playlists, because there's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah. Go crazy. Tell us all your theories.
Yes,
please. And until then, we've had the time of our lives with you.
And you know, it's time to go. So,
bye.
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 Bye.